Hey guys, it's Dan Plucker, executive producer of the Wendy's Big Show and host of Hef, Sam, and Dan on The Fan. Here's how you can find us on the radio.com app. Download the app, favorite The Fan, hit 105.7 FM The Fan, scroll all the way down to The Fan Podcasts, scroll to the right until you see the producers, hit that, and right there should be Hef, Sam, and Dan right here on The Fan.
For this life I cannot change, it is deep off in the main. Eminem, sweet like candy cane. Drop the top, pop it, let it bang.
Welcome in. This is episode 15?
16.
No, I thought...
Last week was 15.
No.
I don't know.
It doesn't matter.
Because we said last week that this week would be episode 15.
Ah, it doesn't.
Okay, anyways, it's Hef, Sam, and Dan on demand.
For all I know.
I'm your boy, Sam Schmitz, one of the producers here. I would say which show, but I have no idea at this point. I am joined by Evan Heffelfinger.
Hello.
You can list your credentials if you want to.
Dude, I'm on...
Shart Stinkler just followed me on Twitter, too.
Can we say that?
Yeah, Shart. That's not a bad word.
It's not good.
It's it's not the word.
We'll debate it. I am the associate, although Bill or Joe just listed me as the assistant producer on the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. You can catch me the last 5 minutes of the Bart Winkler show, and you could have caught me on the draft show with Bill and Gary, but not anymore.
Rut-row, Raggy.
I'm also joined by Dan Plucker, executive producer of the Wendy's Big Show, and I guess you could say partial co-host.
He's the host of the Wendy's
Big Show. We never got into that last week, so I guess we can mention that quickly. So basically last week, Sparky had a family emergency, had to leave on Friday, and I was the only person in studio, so I had to host. Gary and Leroy were at home. Gary didn't really feel comfortable hosting by himself, so that's where I came in and hosted the last hour of the show. It was a disaster, but you know what happened. So don't listen to the 5 o'clock hour of last Friday, because it's probably not worth it.
But other than that, you're a golden pony boy.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate
that. Don't cry,
Sam.
Because it's over. Smile because it happened.
Yeah. Great experience, no matter what.
Is that how the saying goes?
I don't know. Something along those lines. Like
I think that. I saw that in an airport somewhere.
Anyways, all right, so the Wendy's Big Show discussed this a couple days ago, and I thought it was a really interesting topic because, you know, surprisingly, Gary had a lot, I guess I should say, a take that I wasn't expecting. And the question is, did the Packers make every decision possible to help Aaron Rodgers win another Super Bowl? And I'll start it off. No, they definitely didn't. And I think most Packers fans would say that. I don't know what you're going to say, Evan.
I think all three of us are going to say no.
Yeah.
If I were just a betting man, which I am.
But the real thing that we should all dive into is why. Now, I think it's obvious when Ted Thompson was done, his last couple of drafts were just horrible.
Well, because he was...
terrible.
It's the old adage of he was drafting for his job, not for
the team.
Team future.
Yep. Now, granted, there were literally like one or two picks. You got Aaron Jones in there. But, I mean...
think just, about those early round picks that were wasted.
Oof. It just...
HaHa seemed good at the time, but he didn't turn out well.
He had an okay rookie season.
Eddie Lacy had two good years, and then he got really, really fat. Justin Harrell was one of his picks. He didn't work out.
No.
Derek Schrod was one of his picks. That didn't work out.
That one sucks because of injury.
Yeah, like that just busted up leg.
Yeah.
See, my thing, I completely agree with this. No, they have not done enough. And the main reason why is that they've had so many opportunities to go out there and add more.
Mm-hmm.
Add more for positions of need just by trading a draft pick.
Yeah.
You know, and
or signing a free agent.
Look what happened when you brought in Za'Darius and Preston Smith.
Correct.
Not only did they make an impact.
Look what happened when you brought in Charles Woodson.
Yeah.
Right.
Or Julius Peppers.
The two most recent times the Packers have won the Super Bowl, it's because they have made a huge free agent addition.
Mm-hmm.
And granted, you had a couple misses. Martellus Bennett didn't work out.
Right.
Whoa. Right. But that's no one expected Martellus Bennett to come in and be the changing factor to win a Super Bowl. The past two, Charles Woodson. Everybody knew Charles Woodson was a stud. Mm-hmm. He is the man.
I mean,
he
came the only defensive Heisman in college history.
Correct.
One of
he came in from Oakland. They won a championship. Then back in the old days, back in Leroy's days in the 90s, when we were born. Yeah, that's the old days for us, sorry.
Yeah.
We're all 97, 96ers.
96.
So,
96.
Yeah, I'm a 97er. So anyway.
Young.
Yes, I am young. Anyway.
Sam and I are boomers.
Yeah, boomers.
You're young.
That's right. Sorry, I guess. Can't really choose when I'm born, but
so,
whatever. Anyway, 97 is when they won the Super Bowl, and they added Reggie White.
Probably the best pass rusher of all time.
One of them, if not the. So, where's that addition for the Packers? It could have just come in Za'Darius Smith. Za'Darius Smith, he wasn't a stud at the time, but he's proving to be one. He's proving to be a potential all-pro. He's proving to be a potential perennial pro bowler. Again, this is just through his first year, but he's thriving
right
in the system at this point. So hopefully they can bank on him for a couple of years if Preston Smith can continue to play. I mean, that's two very, very, very good players you add to the defense. So right now, sure, the last year, if we're talking, have the Packers done enough or done as much as they can? I'm going to say almost yes outside of addressing the biggest need, which is the wide receiver position.
Which is coming.
Correct.
You
and that
hope
could come this year, which kind of sidetracks me into the trades that are potential for the Packers here, coming from either Kenny Stills for the Texans or O.J. Howard for Tampa Bay. Personally, I would go Stills over Howard. I know tight end is a pretty big need, but I think you can get Stills for less. I think there is a reason that Bruce Arians doesn't think that O.J. Howard and Tom Brady are going to mesh, and I don't know if Tom Brady doesn't want him if Aaron Rodgers wouldn't want him. Or if Aaron Rodgers would want him.
And here's the thing.
So,
when O.J. had all the opportunities he had in Tampa Bay, Cameron Brate was still taking over. He was getting all those receptions. I agree with you. I would also go Kenny Stills. I mean, if you're the Packers and you see what Bill O'Brien is taking for draft picks, how do you not at least pick up the phone and just, you know, stir the pot a little bit and see what you want?
Hey, we got
definitely.
We got 3 6-round picks. We'll give you 2 of them.
I love that
for him.
I mean, it's not, you know, a sexy wide receiver core, but if you can get Adams, Lazard, and Stills, and
with,
you know,
Funches,
maybe
Funches is like a hybrid tight end receiver.
That
and
way,
you pick a couple in the draft,
and that way you can use that first round pick to address the position that you also need. Maybe it's an interior defensive lineman, an offensive lineman, or a linebacker.
See, I think
why not.
I think LaFleur is going to love Funchess because I think he's going to put him on the inside and potentially even in the slot, and he's still going to be a threat in the slot. And from a passing standpoint, but also in the running game, he's a big body. He's going to be able to move some corners out of the way for guys like Aaron Jones, like Jamal Williams, if they go to the outside.
Mm-hmm.
And also for pitch plays, if they go empty backfield or a 4-wide set and have Tyler Irvin come and just give him a little one of those jet sweeps, Devin Funchess on the inside there is going to make a really nice cutback block.
All I'm asking for in Devin Funchess is just to be a better red zone target than Jimmy Graham was.
I think he will.
If he can come down with, you know, 3 or 4 touchdowns this season when we're inside the 10-yard line,
right,
automatically I'll be a big fan of his signing because you paid him absolutely nothing.
You're right. We're not expecting 80 catches, 100 or 1,200 yards, and 8 touchdowns.
He doesn't have to be the number one or number two wide receiver he was when they went to the Super Bowl with Carolina.
Give me 45 catches, 600 yards, and 6 touchdowns.
Boom.
So if this wide receiver situation comes out, I think that would be a way that the Packers are trying to win now with Aaron Rodgers. In the past, though, I don't believe that to be the case, whether it be with Mike McCarthy as the head coach. And sure, he took him to that one Super Bowl, but by the time he got 1 or 2 years removed from that, he wasn't really the coach he was anymore back in the early 2000s.
He was a stubborn man. He did not change.
He didn't change anything about his offense. Correct.
Almost
predictable offense.
It was, because it was like, oh, they're on the short side of the field and it's 2nd and 7. You know they're running an outside run towards the short side of the field with their lineman who can't block that and the receiver or running back who isn't fast enough to do an outside run to the short side of the field. And guess what? You get a yard and it's 3rd and 6. Then you throw a predictable pass play because you go empty backfield like you like to do a lot, and it's a 3 and out.
That good old shotgun outside pitch.
God.
Especially when Eddie Lacy was the
nightmares.
Running back.
I have nightmares
of
that.
Oh, man.
Play.
The debate that came up on the Big Show when this topic was brought up was Tim Allen said that Tom Brady and the Patriots were set up for so much success because Bill Belichick continually went to Tom and had discussions about what kind of wide receiver he would like, what kind of archetype he would like as a wide receiver.
And I really think they did.
And they did, yeah. Right.
Look at the guys they had who are all the same. Wes Welker, Danny Amendola, Julian Edelman.
Chris Hogan.
Yeah. That same ilk of guy.
Correct. Small, if we're going to be honest about it, small white guy with some speed and who's great at possession catches.
A slot guy.
Correct. Mm-hmm. And then they also took risks on big name wide receivers like the Randy Mosses of the world, like mm-hmm. the Antonio Browns and the Josh Gordons of the world. Excuse me. Sure, only Randy Moss was the one that actually stuck there, but
Josh Gordon was productive when he was in New England.
But they're willing to take those kinds of potentially threats to the locker room and turn them into great players. Plus, he had Gronk there. Plus, he had Aaron Hernandez there before yeah. Aaron Hernandez went,
nuts,
went crazy and killed people.
Helped my fantasy team a lot.
James White is even a great pass catcher.
And right, they've always been able to have a running back out of the backfield that can catch a football.
Danny Woodhead and all them.
Correct. Every single one of them. So there's a system. Mm-hmm. And that's why that they were so successful. Sure, Tom Brady, you can call him a system quarterback, sure. But
that's
he
what
also
you want your quarterback
thrived.
To be,
yeah, you yeah. want a great quarterback to be a system quarterback. You don't want the great quarterback to have to do it all himself. That's why Patrick Mahomes is going to win several Super Bowls, right. Because their system is set up perfectly for him.
It takes a truly unique quarterback to not be a system quarterback. Like Lamar Jackson is truly a unique quarterback.
Correct.
That they had to do something for him. Michael Vick was a truly unique quarterback that they had to create a different offense for. It's that kind of thing. But like a guy's coming out of the draft, you want Joe Burrow to be a system quarterback.
Yeah.
You want, because he's a pro-style quarterback, and there's a mm-hmm. lot of teams in the NFL that still run a pro-style offense. You want that kind of fit like that. They're not saying that you need to be typecast or anything, but
no.
they just
so
work with the playbook.
The lack of changing in the coaching staff and the lack of real threats in the receiving core that Aaron Rodgers has had in the last few years and literally the prime of his career compared to what Tom Brady has had his entire 20-year career in New England, where he won six championships, right? Six Super Bowls?
Yes,
six Super Bowls in New England. And so that's literally the difference here,
I think. To kind of paraphrase it, the Packers relied on Aaron Rodgers to have to make these receivers. The Patriots, they worked with Brady. You know, they brought in guys like Josh Gordon. They took the risk.
It's a little bit like what the Seahawks are doing right now with Russell Wilson, where they're right. saying, we need you to make these receivers good.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Because especially they don't have the offensive line anymore.
They're taking risks on guys like look at DK Metcalf in the draft last year.
Which is what the Packers should be doing.
Right.
Absolutely.
And what sucks about the Packers is, 2011, they had the best receiving core of all time. I will argue with anyone. You had Donald Driver at the end of his career.
Still right. productive.
Randall Cobb as a rookie, but he was still, even just returning the ball, he was
mm-hmm.
Jordy Nelson, James Jones, Greg Jennings, and JerMichael Finley when he wasn't dropping the ball. That is a phenomenal six-man group right there. And the problem is, JerMichael Finley retired. Donald Driver retired. James Jones and Greg Jennings left for more money, which ultimately didn't work out for them, which makes you wonder, what if it is Aaron Rodgers making these guys better than they were?
Right.
Which is the argument that you were making. And then they didn't want to pay an older Jordy Nelson and an old Randall Cobb that money. And what are you left with? Nothing. You're left with a guy that you took in the second round that everyone hated and then ended up working out in Devontae. And then these guys that you've tried to build, like Jamon Moore, Equanimeous St. Brown, Marquez Valdez-Scantling, who you saw
Geronimo
a little
Allison.
Bit of flashes from, but they weren't spectacular. And that's what you give your once-in-a-generation quarterback to deal with.
Trotting out on the field this year, you had Devontae and two undrafted free agents.
Yeah.
Behind him in Jay Kummerow and Alan Lazard.
Thank goodness for Alan Lazard.
That is a mess.
Can you imagine where we'd be right now?
Well, and my thing is, I honestly, honestly, I like Alan Lazard. I'm glad that he had his development, but I don't know actually how good he is.
I think he's a three.
Absolutely.
Because I think that Rodgers just trusts him. I don't think he has the talent or anything else necessarily it is to be a top three, top four guy in a normal rotation of wide receivers. But since Aaron Rodgers trusts this kid for whatever reason, he's going to continue to get chances. And that's kind of what plays into this. The Packers have not gotten receivers that Aaron Rodgers can trust.
Right.
And so Alan Lazard is one of them. That's what we're talking about with this system, with the system that Aaron Rodgers should have had set up forever. But he cannot trust the receivers that he has had in the past and the receivers that he has right now.
Right.
So that's why he has Adams and Lazard. And people say, oh, well, Rodgers only looks Devontae Adams' way. He needs to spread the ball around more. You're right. But the Packers have not put him in a situation where he can do that.
That's the thing that's the most fun about watching Aaron Rodgers, is he can take a receiver who's on another team, maybe the fourth best receiver, but if they're on the same page, he becomes one of the best receivers in the entire game. Like, that partnership that he had with Jordy Nelson is unlike anything I've ever seen before. Like, sure, by the end of the time, Peyton Manning and Marvin Harrison had something kind of like that, and Moss and Brady had a thing too, but it was incredible the way that Rodgers could see inside Jordy's head, and Jordy knew, like, James Jones, when he comes on Bill Michaels' show, he says it almost every time. He says, listen, we knew what Aaron was thinking before he was even thinking it. Like,
right.
I don't think that these receivers are on that level right now.
No.
The only one is Devontae, and that's because he learned under Jordy Nelson and James Jones and Randall Cobb, who were on that page with him. They knew what it took to get there. And Devontae, it was a struggle. Like, everyone was clamoring for him to get cut in that year before he broke out.
Yeah.
Problem is, we don't have the time for that.
Yeah. And at this point, you don't. Like, that's what I think the Packers failed to realize. I think they failed to realize that Aaron Rodgers is not going to be great forever.
No.
Right.
They always thought, oh, we can hold off another year. You know, like, we'll get that receiver threat that he needs next year. We'll get that running back that he needs next year. We'll get that.
Hey, we have a need at cornerback right now. We'll get you next time, or we'll give you a couple of fourth round picks. We'll see if one of them sticks.
And just like that, his prime's over because you continually did that over and over and over again. So you wasted his prime. You have to hope that he still has a little bit of that greatness that he's clinging on to here, because last season, he was not the same old Aaron Rodgers that you used to see from the past.
The past two seasons, he's been off.
Correct. He has not been the same. And honestly, it's an age thing. It is.
Yeah.
He's going to be 37 this year.
Yeah,
and his collarbone,
that's what
too,
I was
right?
Say
the injuries.
Too, is, I mean, they didn't expect, boom, his collarbone's broken. All of a sudden, wow, your team is really, you're exposed now.
Right.
Everyone sees what you really are.
And they were horrible without Rodgers.
It's like when LeBron left the Cavs the first time, and it's like, oh, this team won't win 7 games this year.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's...
And he took them to the finals.
That's where the Packers are without Aaron Rodgers. And the fact that he's still there and he's still doing the things that he's doing is great. And obviously, the team that they have now is much better than that team that they had when he broke his collarbone.
Right.
But...
Well, and that's an interesting parallel between this and the Patriots now.
Right. Well, and... You're right, because honestly, the Patriots, I think, are going to have a huge drop off without Tom Brady. I think that the receiving core, I mean, Tom Brady didn't have a lot of great receivers last year as well, which is why he was just begging for them to cling on to Antonio Brown,
right,
because he wanted that other wide receiver next to Julian Edelman. And I liken Julian Edelman and Tom Brady to what Aaron Rodgers and Jordy Nelson had. Because,
yeah.
I mean, honestly, Edelman and Nelson, they're not the most athletic guys. They're not the most gifted players in the world. Sure, they're formidable, but they're not the Randy Mosses and the Marvin Harrisons and those great connections because he's a great talent. No, that's not what they were. It's just the fact that they were so connected with their quarterbacks on such a deep level, and they were talented enough that they became great together.
All right, so we've kind of been talking about, for the last 20 minutes, we've been talking about the offense, right? But I think when we're talking about Aaron Rodgers and did the Packers as a team do the best they could, we can't not mention how bad the defense was
right. The
past 8 seasons.
That's what's annoying to me the most, is we spend so much draft capital on the defense.
On projects on defense.
And
guys like Demarius Randall and Quentin Rollins.
The guys who they drafted as safeties, and they're like, we're going to make you a cornerback now.
Yeah, it'll work.
No.
I still have nightmares of Ladarius Gunter on Julio Jones in the NFC Championship. Granted, that team was really banged up, but that's what happens when you take risks on these guys and, you know, injuries pile up and you're down to your third or fourth and you realize, oh, all of our guys are just, you know, guys we picked up off the street or unsigned free agents and we hoped that they could be and they'd end up not turning out what we wanted them to be.
Right. And part of that was Ted Thompson. I think that they're better at it now. Trading up to get Jair. Jair is a Pro Bowl caliber cornerback.
He is. Darnell Savage had his solid rookie. It wasn't terrible.
He started out strong and then kind of got exposed a little bit. But
the thing for me with Ted Thompson is that he just made so many mistakes in the draft.
Yes.
And
but that's the thing.
The pinnacle of that, in my opinion, was the Jason Spriggs deal. What in the world was he thinking? Spriggs wasn't even projected to be in the top four rounds of the draft. Maybe even not the top five. And they traded up in the third round to pick him.
Yeah.
It didn't make any sense. Second round, even. You're right. And the reason why they did it, he said he had great character. That's the first thing that comes out of your mouth in your second round pick that you trade up for. That doesn't make any sense. Ted Thompson, by the end of his tenure in Green Bay, he had no clue what he was doing.
Well, it was hubris because at the beginning of his career, he was so good at picks.
Mm-hmm.
He was so good because that was the Packer way at that point.
Mm-hmm.
It was you build through the draft because they didn't want to spend on free agency, which to a point understandable, especially as a small market team, understandable.
Yeah.
But once that magic started to run out, he panicked. It was either he panicked or he had all this confidence in himself that he was like, you know what? This is my guy. I'm going to go with that. We'll see if it works out. I know in my heart that I'm picking who I thought was the guy, even though it didn't work out, like Derek Sherrod. Although that was injuries, yes.
Yeah,
but
there's certain
draft picks
that
Justin Harrell is a better example.
And Justin Harrell,
and just look at the desperation that they had. Because
Nick Perry,
In Thompson's last two drafts, if I'm not mistaken, in his last two drafts, if I'm not mistaken, he went, right? Thompson went three running backs and then three wide receivers back-to-back in his last two drafts, right?
Yep.
I mean, that just shows you the desperation that he was clinging on to here in the last, in his fleeting moments of being the Green Bay Packers GM because he says these positions are so bad, I have to spend three draft picks on each of them. And not only do I spend three draft picks on them, but they're late round draft picks. They're not even in the top rounds, which didn't make any sense.
Throwing blank at a wall and hoping it sticks.
Right. That's literally what it was. It wasn't okay, I'm going to draft who I think is the best player right here in the 5th, 6th, and 7th rounds, which is probably what you should be doing. Instead, he is literally...
we need receiver. Oh, have I not taken one yet? We got three picks this. You know what? Just give me three of them. I don't care who they are. Just give me like whoever the next three are on the next, ESPN's mock draft.
The next three ones that are on our draft board, let's take those three in the 5th, 6th, and 7th rounds and hope that maybe one of them can turn out. What a horrible way to go at addressing a position. That doesn't make any sense to me, especially in what was a relatively weak wide receiving class. And he's darn lucky, and so are the Packers. They're darn lucky that Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams ended up actually turning out, because if they didn't, they would still have deep, deep running back issues.
Man, so when we think about all the misses in the draft, I think the last thing we have to talk about, there's no bigger message that sends, hey, we're trying to win a Super Bowl now, and we're trying to do everything we can to help you. Brian Gutekunst came in as GM, and we all knew how bad the defense was and everything. And every time I see this man line up with the Chicago Bears, every time I see Khalil Mack, I'm like, we missed out on having our version of Rodgers and our version of Reggie White like Favre did. And I get,
yes,
I get you had to give up multiple first-round picks and a haul, and you had to give him the contract, and you all said you have Rodgers the contract too at the time. But you're telling me Rodgers wouldn't take a little bit of a pay cut if you bring in a guy like Khalil Mack that says, hey, yeah, we are trying to win now?
Here's my thinking. I think that the Packers offered a very similar deal to what the Bears did.
Yeah.
The thing is, the Raiders thought that the Bears had a chance, or, you know, they were the worst constructed team, so they went with that. That's my guess. But I also think that, now, hindsight is also everything.
You let him go to the Bears. That's the thing.
Yeah.
Granted, he's not really making much of an impact because they're so bad on offense.
Well, that's the thing is, Khalil Mack, that first year, he was a difference maker. He single-handedly beat the Packers that year. But last year, he was nothing.
Well, because he's on the field so often, because Mitch Trubisky can't do anything in the offense.
Right.
Well, and retrospectively money, looking at it, I mean, the Packers did end up getting Za'Darius Smith. And sure, he's not the same threat that Khalil Mack is.
If you compare the salary, like, the Packers probably got the better deal.
They probably got the better deal.
That's easy to say now when you do have a full season of Za'Darius Preston.
But I agree with you, Sam, in the fact that the Packers at this point should have done something.
They don't make the splash.
In a second elite player.
You can't let them go to your biggest rival in the division.
Because right now, you have Aaron Rodgers as an elite quarterback. You have Davante Adams, who's an elite wide receiver. And you have Za'Darius Smith, who before this free agency signing,
he was a decent guy.
Right. He was above average at his position. Now I would say he's borderline elite, if not elite.
Absolutely. So,
especially if he can repeat last season into this season. Preston Smith is close, but not quite there. But that's why I'm saying the Packers need to go and make that statement this year. I think they have to make a statement
which
this
is why
year saying, we are going to get our guy, we're going to get this next elite player on either side of the ball, wherever they think that the position of need is going to be. Even if it's as simple as giving up a fifth rounder for Kenny Stills. Like, that's at least showing your fan base, we're not waiting anymore, we need to win now.
Right.
And that they're in that position, they have to win now. They have to.
Well, let me ask you guys this, OBJ.
If it's there, sure, but I don't think it's going to be.
Yeah, I just don't think. Browns even said they weren't. Right. They're not trying to let OBJ go.
I mean, honestly, if they could have gotten Diggs, that would have been awesome. But Diggs also brought in a haul, and I don't think the Vikings would have traded him to a division rival.
Man, no, that was all it took to get DeAndre Hopkins, dude.
Right, but there's no way that would have known that because we're all saying we want DeAndre Hopkins. However, I'm pretty sure the Texans probably called up the Cardinals and we're like, hey, we want David Johnson.
That was probably
give us a pick
thing.
And we'll give you DeAndre Hopkins.
I would have given him Aaron Jones.
I don't know who would have started that conversation. Sure. That would have been
Hopkins
a very comparable thing.
The Packers were the team in front of the Texans when Hopkins was drafted. I'm going to look it up real quick, but it's like, we had our shot.
But I agree. The Packers, they're running out of time to make this big statement deal that brings in another top player in the NFL, and it has to happen sooner rather than later if they want to make a Super Bowl run here. Because, sure, your future is going to be affected by it. Whatever deal you make, if you make a deal, your future is going to be affected by it. But at some point, you have to say, F the future. We're winning this thing this year. You have to make that statement at some point, and they haven't done that yet.
The Packers have 3 years of Aaron Rodgers, if I had to guess.
At best.
Yeah, at best. I think it's two solid.
I think it's two maybe.
The optimist in me would like to say 3+.
And here's the sad thing is, us as Packers fans, we'll already admit, actually, DeAndre Hopkins was the pick after the Packers. Damn. Took Dayton Jones in front of DeAndre Hopkins.
That's such a bummer.
But I think Packers fans agree that
I really
we've
like
already wasted Rodgers' prime. So whatever
you have to salvage it at this
point. We're just reaching now.
That's why
I'd
like to think that the Bucks are doing the right thing and letting Giannis be a part of the free agent talks now.
Yep.
So that they're not wasting his prime too. And it worked out because he got his guys that he wanted surrounding him. Like if you watched any of his interviews, he said, I told him there are a couple of guys that I wanted, Wes Matthews, Kyle Korver. And it helps that Giannis went out of his way to like work out and talk with those guys in the offseason.
Yeah.
But that's what you should have your star player doing. I know that a lot of those national pundits don't like that some teams let their star players play, like LeBron, they say, like, le GM or whatever. But that's what you need to do. If it's your once-in-a-generation player on your team, you need to do everything you can to keep them happy. And if they want to run the franchise in the ground like it kind of happened with LeBron in Cleveland, so be it.
Right.
But you need to do everything you can to make that guy happy.
Right, and I mean, sure, LeBron ran Cleveland into the ground the second time he was there.
But he also, they're set up not terrible.
Right, and that's the thing. I said on Twitter, I liken LeBron, you can follow me at Dan Plucker. I liken Aaron Rodgers to LeBron James in this situation because you cannot tell me that LeBron had no impact at all on any of the rostered moves. No. Most people were calling him the GM of the freaking Cavaliers when he was there.
Right, that's why they said, lay GM.
Right, and that's exactly what you needed to do with Rodgers, because now that you haven't done that, look what happens. You waste potentially the best quarterback in NFL history's prime because you are afraid of losing out in the future. And now that he's, I mean, there was a different scenario because LeBron left and came back. But now that he was back, he left the franchise in shambles, sure. But did they win a championship? Did they get to the promised land?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. So is it worth it? Absolutely. Suck for the next 15 years. You won a championship.
Right. It's sad to say, but it keeps me up at night.
Oh, like I said.
The wasted opportunities. That 2014 NFC Championship game specifically.
Julio Jones just going off.
Well, no, that was different. That I mean the Seahawks
one. Oh,
the
yeah, Seahawks yeah. one, yeah.
That 2016
yeah,
was the Falcons.
Sorry, every time I think about wasted potential, I just think of Ladarius Gunter and Julio Jones.
To this day, I will never watch that 2014 NFC Championship Absolutely. Game again because I will cry. Like, I'm not ashamed to admit it. I will cry. That night, I openly wept on my floor for I don't know how long.
They would have gone up against the Patriots in the Super Bowl, and they would have had a shot.
I knew they were winning the Super Bowl that year. Like, that year was just obvious.
That was their one loss season, wasn't it?
No, that was 2011. That was the year after the Super Bowl is when they did that. And that one, I knew that they were in trouble when their only loss was late in the season against the Chiefs. I knew that they were going to run into some BS in the playoffs.
Okay. Well, anyway, Bostic, fumbling the football on the onside kick.
That wasn't the worst part of that.
Not letting it go out of bounds.
The worst part of that was Julius Peppers telling What's-His-Face to get down after the interception.
Yes.
Oh, sure. Ha-ha.
Yeah, telling mm-hmm. Ha-ha not to
That
the
was
end
what
zone.
Killed the game.
Or Ha-ha not swapping, getting in better position on a two-point conversion. There's a lot of mm-hmm. points. But unlike the Green Bay Packers doing their best to make sure Aaron Rodgers has another shot at the Super Bowl. Thankfully, the Milwaukee Bucks are trying to do their best. But will it matter after this pandemic? We'll talk about Giannis' contract situation, how this affects it, coming up next. Welcome back to Hef, Sam, and Dan On Demand, episode 16.
15, whatever it is.
No, it is. I checked. It is 16.
Okay.
Sweet 16.
There we go.
So,
Sweet 16, nice.
So, as we were discussing before the break, it seems like the Bucks are trying to do everything in their power to make sure Giannis has the best situation around him possible, not only to win a championship, but to make sure that he does want to stay here in Milwaukee, and I think we can all agree he's a great guy, and it seems like he wants to stay, but hey, money talks, and I mean, who knows, even before the pandemic happened, I think most Bucks fans would agree that he was more than likely going to sign that thing as soon as John Horst offered it to him, but we really don't know, and I'm kind of curious. I mean, for me, I don't really think it affects him that much, but how do you guys think that this pandemic will affect Giannis' future when it comes to the offseason?
Well, Dan and I have differing opinions on this.
Yeah, I think that it will impact it gratefully.
Really?
I honestly do.
How so?
Mostly because it really depends on how this season ends. Because if this season ends in any way other than the Bucks being in the finals or being handed the championship, I mean handed, quote unquote. I mean, they did earn it. They won the most games in the regular season. So if it is handed to them, it's not really handed to them, but it's handed to them because they didn't play in a playoff series.
Yeah.
But unless one of those two scenarios happens, so they get a championship basically in any way possible after this pandemic, I don't see it ending well. That puts a bunch of pressure on the Bucks for next season. I honestly think that the Bucks need to be in the finals, not necessarily win one. They need to be at least in the finals for the next 2 years or win a finals champion, you know, an NBA championship in the next 2 years for him to stay in Milwaukee. Because that proves that the roster that is currently constructed is good enough.
You can get there.
You can get there. At the very least, you can get there with Chris Middleton, with Eric Bledsoe, with Robin Lopez, with Brooke Lopez, with Giannis. That core is great enough to put you into a championship game. Sure. I mean, flaunt the almost potentially 70 wins that they would have had this year in my face. Go ahead, do it. But the regular season only means so much. You have to be able to prove it in playoff basketball. And Chris Middleton and Eric Bledsoe, to this point in their careers, have not proven that they can be studs in the postseason.
Cold-blooded when they need to be.
I would disagree about Chris.
Well, Chris has been good in the first two rounds, but the conference finals, especially last year.
I feel like that's kind of a different thing because the entire team was bad.
Yeah, I mean, nobody could
It's kind of hard to. I mean, Giannis was awful in that series.
Right, but that's the argument, because
he was shut down. Yeah. That's the thing. Right. You have to have a second guy that can step up when your number one is getting shot down.
Yeah.
And the Bucks, to this point, have not proved that they've been able to do that on a consistent basis, on a seven-game series basis. Because everybody knows when Giannis is on that court, you have to stop Giannis. Giannis is already on his way to being one of the greatest players in NBA history. And right now, they don't have that number two guy, that number two superstar. Sure, Chris Middleton is there. Chris Middleton is almost there. Eric Bledsoe, he's lesser, but almost there.
Yeah,
Brooke Lopez used to be there, is not there anymore. And mostly he was only there because he was on a roster by himself scoring 26 points a game with the Nets or whatever it was. But now they have a bunch of these number twos, or these number threes, number fours, and they're hoping that that's enough for it to be a number two. And you've pigeonholed yourself in an awful situation, and you had to give him the money. Middleton needs to be here in Milwaukee. You're not going to bring in another superstar like Chris Middleton, a quote-unquote superstar, because Middleton's not a superstar. Yeah. But Middleton has to be able to show in the postseason that he is worth that money that you just gave him, and they're banking on him being the guy to step up when there's a wall built around Giannis and he cannot score. And so that they can open that up, they have to focus on Middleton too, and then boom, Giannis has to be in there as well. So that has not been proven to me yet. And without a postseason, without a championship, we're still not going to see that, which puts, like I said, a bunch of pressure on next year if the Bucks do not end up being given the championship this season or winning the championships this season or getting to the championship this season. It all depends on a championship for Giannis, because that is what he craves. That is what he needs at this point in his career. He already has an MVP and likely a second MVP under his belt, and he wants to be one of the greatest of all time, and in order to do that, he needs to have more than one championship, and if he's going to stay in Milwaukee, he needs to be sure that this roster, this coaching staff that has been built around, can win championships, and right now, that hasn't been done yet.
So what I think is going on is, right now, Giannis is feeling like there's a lot of unfinished business, and I think that he knew that this team was different. Like, we had Jim Paschke on this week, and he was saying, yeah, this team was different than last year. Like, he saw day one of training camp that they were different. They were pissed off. They were ready to go. And I think that this year, Chris Middleton was a different player.
He was.
Last year, he was
much better.
He was good. This year, he played up to the contract. I will stand by that till the day I die.
Right. I said that they had a great regular season.
Giannis was out, and the other teams knew that he was the focal point.
He dropped 50 points against the Wizards that one game.
Every shooter's going to have their bad games, but Chris bounced back.
Like Dan said, I agree with you. So far in the regular season this year, he's done everything he needs to do. Now, it's the regular season. Like Dan said, he can only do so much.
That's why I think
it was just about to get to time where all the Middleton haters were going to come back out and be like, all right, playoff time. How is Chris going to do this time? We'll see. First year in the contract.
That's why I think it's hard for any of us to say anything, because who knows what could have happened in the playoffs. Personally, I think that the Bucks would have made the finals and probably would have lost to the Lakers in seven. That's what I think would have happened. But I think that, I mean, it's almost like comparing eras. You can't do it. You can't think about the hypothetical that much, because ultimately, who knows what could have happened.
Right, but this is what the pandemic is causing. It's causing hypothetically.
Right.
It's causing that, because right now we don't have any sports.
And
we
don't have basketball. That's what I think is going on with Giannis right now. Obviously, this is complete, like, I have no idea, but if I had to guess, he's sitting there with these hypotheticals like, man, I think this team was that team. What would have happened if we had done it? And so then he's thinking, let's run it back. We have all those other guys locked up. Let's see what we can do.
Sure, another let's run year, it back. That's going to be the next year that I was talking about. That's going to be the big thing.
Well, here's the thing. What's going to happen is they're either giving him the contract or they're going to trade him. because they're not going to let him play out his contract and leave for nothing.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. If they think they can win a championship with him next year, they're going to. Why would they trade him? That doesn't make any sense. Because if you've built this roster around him, you've given Chris Middleton the contract, you're all in. There's no way that you're trading him. I don't believe that at all. Unless next year the Milwaukee Bucks are 500 at the trade deadline and they have to deal them.
Well, yeah, that wouldn't happen. If Giannis is there, that wouldn't happen. But I just think, because this Bucks franchise has been through so much, they've seen what happened with other teams losing their best players for nothing. I think that the Bucks, because they're a small market team, they realize they can't go through a 10-year rebuild. They can't do what the Sixers did. I think that if he doesn't agree to an extension this summer, that they're going to start looking to trade him, because that's the only way that they can bounce back as a franchise.
See, I don't think that makes any sense at all. You're all in on this at this point. You have your team.
You have to be, think for the future. And if Giannis says...
We were just having this conversation with Aaron Rodgers. We were just having this conversation,
yes, but
Evan.
If Giannis doesn't want to be a part of the Bucks' future, then you have to start looking to the future without him.
So you honestly think that Chris Middleton being the number one, Bucks are going to be able to do anything?
No,
so,
and I think that they're going to be bad, but it depends on who they trade him to.
But you want to trade Giannis.
That's not what I'm saying.
That is what you're saying. No.
Because what are you going to get in return?
Well, you're going to get some damn good players.
You're going to get picks. You're not going to get players.
Yes, you are.
Who's going to give up a superstar for Giannis?
You're not going to get a superstar, but you're going to get, at the very least, like the only comparable thing you can do is the Lakers and the Pelicans, and they got four really good young players and picks out of that.
But everybody's in the same situation as the Lakers, where they have all of these great picks that they've been lining up over the last years.
There are still enough teams out there. And if this is for a rental, which Anthony Davis could still be a rental, he hasn't agreed to anything
yet.
But
I don't think any team is going to deal for Giannis for a rental.
I disagree.
I don't think that's happening. I think a team's going to want to make sure that he's locked up. So I can see them trading him in one scenario and one scenario only.
Wait, hold on. The Raptors just did that with Kawhi.
Right, but that wasn't in the middle of the season. That was before a season started.
Which is what I'm saying.
So you're saying that they're going to trade him before the season even starts.
If they don't reach an extension.
That doesn't make any sense to me.
Why not?
Because based on everything that they've done to this point, based on building the brand new freaking stadium, based on like going to just the economic sides of things, from building the stadium to building this Bucks brand all around Giannis.
Yes, but
at the peak moment of it in the last year, where this is the last year where he can, if you win the championship this year, he's probably staying around. You're going to chicken out and you're going to trade him? That doesn't make any sense.
But here's the thing. They built that with the idea of Giannis staying for his career.
Right, and if he doesn't win a championship, he's going to.
But that's a huge risk that you have to take.
That's the point. So you're going to rather chicken out and trade him?
It's not hypothetical. If he tells you, listen, I'm going to test myself in free agency this year, that's when you need to be scared.
Well, sure,
but
if
he doesn't
say
any of that, then you ride with it. This is under the situation that he says, I'm not signing an extension with you. That's when you look at a trade. That's when you look to see what the future is. That's when you look to see, okay, Giannis isn't a part of our future anymore.
So that's how we rebuild. You're saying only if he says, I'm not staying.
Yeah.
Because if he says, I'm not staying, I get it. But if he comes into next season and says, you know, I'm not sure yet, those are two completely different scenarios.
Then you keep him at that point.
That's where I thought that he was going to be at in your scenario He's saying no to the extension just because he's not sure where he's at. But if he's saying, I'm out, then yes, I agree with you full-heartedly. Yes, you probably need to deal him. You're right. But my bad, I guess, in that and in our heated argument there.
I just think the Bucks, because they've seen what can happen, if they get an inkling that he's not signing, they have to explore options.
Yeah.
Because that's the only way. You have this new stadium now. What happens if you make the playoffs and you lose in the Eastern Conference Finals to the Nets with Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, and then he leaves? What are you left with?
You're right. So in that standpoint where he is saying to you, I am not signing in Milwaukee, I get the idea of trading him. I'm still completely on board with it, maybe not necessarily, but yes, they probably will deal him in that situation. But I don't think he's going to be that definitive on a yes or no statement until the end of the season next year. I don't think he's going to say, I'm not coming back to Milwaukee, because I honestly think that Giannis is just torn in all this. I think he doesn't know what the heck he wants to do, because I think he wants the Bucks to be that team. He wants the Bucks to be the championship team. He wants this team to be the one that's going to put him into to superstardom, into the Hall of Fame career, the best of all time that he could be. But I don't know if he is fully confident that Milwaukee can be that.
I would disagree with that.
I mean,
because I don't think he would have said the things that he's said if he felt like that. Because I think that that's you buying into the national media a little bit, of them saying that the number one thing on his mind is winning, which I think that it's very high up there. But also, he's a loyal guy. He's a guy like Kobe, like Dirk. Those are some of his guys. I think that
he respects those guys. Definitely.
He values the loyalty. And I think there's no reason right now that he wouldn't think the Bucks are doing everything in their power to make him a winner.
They definitely are. I don't think he is doubting that at all. I think he does believe that the Bucks are doing everything in their power. And I believe the Bucks are doing everything in their power. But is that enough?
What else can they do?
That's not exactly. It's not the Bucks' fault. I'm not saying it's the Bucks' fault. It's just the way that this all works. It's the way that the NBA is. Is everything that the Bucks are doing going to be enough? That's what all of this has built up to. And I still don't know if Giannis is sitting there and thinking, yes, the Bucks. Giannis is sitting there thinking, yes, this is everything that the Bucks can do. But if we don't win a championship with this, that's saying that the best that the Bucks can do is not good enough.
If I were a betting man, and I am, I would put it at probably 75-25 that Giannis signs an extension this summer with the Bucks.
I'm at like an 80, if not like an 85.
I see it. It really depends on how this season ends because of the pandemic.
Dude, I'm not even worried about how this season ends, man.
If I had to guess, it's done.
Yeah.
That there's no playoffs, there's no nothing. It ends as it ends. There's no champion. It's going to be like the 1994 baseball season where there's no champion.
And I think that causes a little bit of strife in Giannis's mind.
I don't think so.
No.
So you think if, that he... But the thing is, if we're... Sorry, Sam. You haven't really talked much here. But one last point, and then I'll let you talk. So let's think 6 years ahead, you know? Giannis is a Buck for the next 6 years,
mm-hmm.
right after signing the Supermax. And they don't win a championship.
Mm-hmm.
Giannis is going to look back at those 6 years as the most regretful 6 years of his career, because at that point, he is on the back end of his prime.
That's way too early to say something like that.
Because
we have absolutely no idea.
Right, here's the thing. What I'm saying is the Bucks are trying their best right now.
Giannis isn't that kind of a vengeful, spiteful person.
Exactly.
Right, but I'm not saying that he's going to like hate the Bucks forever. I'm just saying he's going to look back with regret because they didn't win a championship.
I don't think so.
Okay, so dude was drafted 15th overall. This team believed in him when we all had nobody had no idea who the hell is this guy. I can't even pronounce his last name.
I didn't want him.
He had to work his ass off those first couple of years in Milwaukee. And yeah, you can say 6 years total, but really by like year three, he was finally finding himself and he had to deal with a coaching transition. The Bucks, man, you can compare it to other franchise players that have left in smaller markets. Dude, the Bucks are doing everything that they can and it's working. Like,
and you can't
argue
that.
No,
for some
I'm not
other.
Arguing
like,
that.
Historically,
well, I mean, like,
this might be the best case before he signs like his big deal. This might be the best case. He might be one of the greatest players to ever play in a small market where everything is just working 100%. No matter who they bring in, the locker room, the team chemistry is just great.
That's what's different is you can't argue that some of those small market teams were doing everything for some of those players. Like, the Pelicans were not doing everything they could for Anthony Davis.
No, I agree.
I hate to say it, but the Pistons aren't doing everything they could for Drummond or Blake Griffin.
Like Anthony Mandela?
It's...
A lot of those teams, too, they don't buy in right away, and neither did the Bucks really, but once they found out...
What they had,
those
right.
teams didn't buy into like guys like Drummond to be, it's our franchise guy. Like, but you didn't really.
The Pelicans bought into Anthony Davis. The problem is they were so tied down to these terrible contracts that they thought would complement him.
Yeah.
And
they had to deal with the Golden State Warriors in the playoffs, knocking him out, you know.
Right.
See,
that's tough
so here's
too.
Here's where I view the whole Giannis situation. And yes, I'm a Bucks fan. Like, I am. I like the Bucks. I root for them. Out of all the teams in Milwaukee, they're probably the team that I cheer the most for.
Okay.
So I'm not from here. We've addressed this. I'm right. A Detroit sports guy, whatever. We've addressed this.
You're wearing a Padres hat.
I'm wearing a Padres hat right now because I'm from San Diego. Right. Mm-hmm. So I think that you're right in saying that the national media is pushing this narrative for Giannis to leave. But I also think that in state here, we have this idealistic viewpoint where there's no way that Giannis is leaving. And we have this 80%, 75% chance that Giannis is staying. I don't think that anybody really knows where he's at right now. I don't. Sure, he's come out and said that he loves Milwaukee before, but other stars and other teams in history of sports have said the same thing as well and left.
But and yes, but there's a difference.
We just had Christian Yelich sign his extension. The dude, Milwaukee is. You can say what you want, man. Like sometimes when people say they like Milwaukee. You can. It's okay to believe it. Like I get what you're saying. Like
right,
we've dealt with guys leaving. But
how
like,
surprised were we all that Yelich did this, and he didn't
vary?
And,
but
and
that's
he took
very,
a team friendly
Yelich,
contract.
But
not
Yelich,
everybody's
okay,
that team friendly
wasn't
guy.
Talking. It was either going to be Yelich or Giannis who had to set the precedent that Milwaukee is a place where you can stay and you can build your career. One of the guys had to do it when they got their extension. Nobody was expecting Yelich to get his extension now, so everybody was predicting it to be Giannis. And I think Giannis was going to do it anyways. So it was a shock that Yelich actually did it. So early because he
before Giannis
because Milwaukee is such a great fit for him.
Well, remember,
it's okay to believe that. Like
Giannis congratulated Yelich, and Yelich said, "You're next."
Yeah, no, you're not wrong. That's what he did. But that
and
again,
like, it's okay to believe into the hype that Milwaukee is a place where you can build your career.
Right. I'm not saying that that's not the case. I'm just saying that not every single star believes that. And
yes, but there's a difference between the public relations BS that some of those players say,
have
like,
to go through
like
what
Anthony
Giannis
Davis
has said, I agree.
But, I mean, Giannis is just, he's a completely different person. He doesn't care about the money. He doesn't care about the bright lights. He doesn't want to go to a big market.
How many of these big name players can you say grew up in Greece selling knickknacks, just trying to make ends meet for their family?
You're right.
How many of them don't want to go to the big cities? Giannis is a superstar that we've never seen before. He is a different guy. Like, every single person wants to win. And Giannis is given the platform to do these interviews and say that he wants to win. Every single player, well, I don't want to say every single player, but most players want to win more than anything. But that doesn't mean that he's going to jump ship the first chance that he can
chance Giannis has had.
Well, I mean like, once he realizes that there's no, or that he thinks that there's, I don't even know, because that's the thing, is as long as Giannis is here, there's always a chance the Bucks will win the finals. That's what happens when you have the best player in the league. And I think that with the depth that they've built up that and who are locked in on contracts, except for, you know, the role player guys, that you can interchange those. The Warriors did that every year. I think that Giannis would be crazy to look at this roster and say, okay, I can't do it with this. I need to go somewhere else.
Right. It might not be that I can't do it with this, but it would be easier to do it with this.
Do you think Giannis is the type of guy, though, who's okay with being a sidekick? Because I don't.
Well, I don't think he's going to be a sidekick anywhere he goes.
Him and Jabari had those struggles.
Well, and I don't think he's going to be a sidekick anywhere he goes. Even if he went to Golden State with the Stacks, Steph Curry, and Klay Thompson, at this point, they've done their thing. They've won their championship. Giannis hasn't done that yet. That's the whole draw of him going to Golden State. And Bill Ryder told us, I know, national media guy, but he told us that the Warriors feel fairly confident that they have a chance of getting Giannis.
I just don't think there's any way they can make the money work for it.
Well, it would be a big contract in, like, Andrew Wiggins and draft picks. And it would be Giannis signs his Supermax and is dealt.
I don't see that happening.
I mean, if he says I want out, that's the way it's going to happen.
And even if that did happen, yeah, he is considered the sidekick there. You can say like he has the biggest contract on the team, but you can't replace a guy who's won championships and MVPs like Steph Curry and say that he's the sidekick now.
Going back to kind of the question here, with the pandemic, I think that that's what all of this carries, is that, like, is the pandemic. Like, we all are saying nothing is going to be the same on the other end of this thing. Like, that's what everybody is saying. And who knows how that's not going to, why that wouldn't happen in sports, too. Why Giannis wouldn't, as he sits here and thinks about it, he has all this time to really consider his future now that he's literally a year out, a year from now, he could be on a different roster. Like, that's where we are at now. That's where his mindset has to be now.
Well, and that's... sorry to interrupt.
But no, it's okay.
That's also part of the thing that I think is helping his case right here. Because he's locked in Milwaukee with his long-term girlfriend and his baby in their, like, the top floor of their condo that they've bought. He is experiencing his life officially in Milwaukee, settled down with his girl. And I think that once he experiences this, he really... I don't think he goes anywhere.
We'll see. I mean, I hope you're right. Like I said, like I've been this whole Giannis is leaving this whole conversation. But
if you had to put a percentage,
50-50. Right. And I'm not saying that just to sit on the fence. It's because that's where I think it's actually at.
I get it. All right. So are we kind of putting a bow on this?
I would say so.
All right. So now that we've gotten our heated discussion out of the way, I think it's time to have a few laughs and cherish the good times, at least in this past week, as we kind of go through the best of this week coming up next year. Like Anthony Mandela.
Huh?
Nice.
All right, welcome back.
Hey, after that segment, we do love each other. I just want to
answer
real quick. Like,
there's no love lost. Listen, whatever makes me sound like I can get in an argument on my demo reel, I'm all for it.
Yeah, exactly. That's why we're doing this.
But now we can kind of kick back on our favorite part of the show, and we can kind of relive some of the best moments from this week.
Yeah, my throat hurts. I'm going to sit back.
Surprisingly, a big show sweep this week.
Heck yeah.
I mean,
good show. Good show this week, even without
Dan's
Sparky
own show that he hosts.
But
by himself.
Some interesting news broke earlier today about a alleged porn site offering $1 million to Joe Buck, who's been making these homemade commentating videos.
They're fantastic.
They're really great. Now, I don't hate Joe Buck, but I'm not a big fan of him. But I applaud him for what he's doing. It's great. Now, he was offered $1 million just to commentate a video.
Mm-hmm.
And he responded with possibly the best response you could ask for on Twitter. I give Joe Buck credit. I didn't think he was capable of that kind of response.
So here's the thing. We all know Joe Buck in Wisconsin because we grew up supposedly hating Joe Buck.
And Troy Aikman.
And I still hate Troy Aikman,
yeah.
But Joe Buck, I don't know if you guys listen to Pardon My Take, the sports podcast from Barstool.
Yeah, occasionally.
He's on there every once in a while, and they make him human. Like, Joe Buck is honestly, like, he has a very kind of dry sense of humor, but he's one of the funniest dudes, I swear.
I have no problem with him as a person.
He's not, like, this egotistical guy that everyone thinks he is.
Yeah.
He's incredibly sarcastic and, like... He can make fun of himself, and I mean, they make him, like, they always joke about how people come up to him in the street and say, like, wow, you made him human, but they actually did make him human. So I like Joe Buck a lot.
Yeah. So whether or not you're a fan of Joe Buck and or porn, they kind of came together here on the Wendy's Big Show and in this discussion of whether or not he should do it. And the guys kind of talked about it today and brought up another Joe into the conversation. Listen it.
Oh.
But an interesting thing that I got in my email today that has popped up on Twitter as well, because Darren Rovell obviously got the exact same email that I got, and he put it out on Twitter. And I want to see what Leroy and Gary think about this. As you know, Joe Buck... has been volunteering his voice and services to people that wanted to send him videos, and he'll do like play-by-play. So if you want to send him a video on social media of your dog running around chasing a bone, He very well could do a little play-by-play of that for you, and you'll have a video of Joe Buck doing play-by-play of your dog chasing bone, or maybe your kid's playing in the backyard. You want some play-by-play of that, and he'll do that, and so forth. Well, then came word from Joe Buck that what had been happening was that couples may have been sending them doing some intimate things together and asking Joe Buck to voice them. And Joe Buck, you know, very nicely just said, yeah, maybe, later, maybe in my life, maybe I'll do something like that. But right now, where I'm at in my career, I don't think that's probably wise for me to be doing that. Well, have no fear. An adult webcam company, I Am Live, has offered Joe Buck $1 million to provide live play-by-play commentary for them. $1 million to do play-by-play for their website. And again, it is a porn website. $1 million. Yes. Joe Buck retweeted Darren Rovell, who had put this out there, and says, depending on the site, they could just be handing me some of my own money back. So I'll hold out for a better offer and try to hold on to my day job. But I have to say, I'm flattered. And that is Joe Buck. But later on in this thing, it says the site is also accepting applications from other national and local sports commentators. Joe Zinzola apparently already offered his in. He already submitted a play-by-play, and he's auditioning for it currently. Do you think...
Has Joe ever watched that kind of stuff, though?
No. No. So it'll be a first time. It'll be a first time. The commentary from somebody that's never seen it could be outstanding if you think about it, right?
How do you know Joe did that, though, Steve?
Joe did what?
Joe told you Joe said he signed up for that?
Joe was in the production studio practicing.
His girl go get him.
His girl's gonna get him.
They get married in August. He ain't finna mess that up.
So the best part about this clip here, and something that Leroy does not know, because Leroy's at home, was that Joe was standing right there in the studio when that was said. And so Sparky just looks at him, and Joe's all pissed off.
He wasn't pissed off. He was
like laughing pissed off.
Come on.
I opened the door. I was like, Joe, how do you come back from this? And then he turned. He was like, goodbye, boys. And then he walked out and went home.
And it's sad to say, but there are so many occasions where that happens with Joe, where he just gets absolutely plastered and then
that's the thing
leaves.
Is Joe has, he becomes kind of the butt of the joke, but he's become a lot better at being the butt of the joke.
Right, he really has. And so
there are times where it's still a little bit interesting, like when I did the interview with him on Chuck and Winkler from the Rose Bowl. I listened back to that the other day because I was bored one morning. And oh my God, was he so mad?
He was so mad.
He texted me right after, and because you know I said something about like the show that we had coming up that day, and I was like, you know, sorry, dude, they put me up to it, and he was like, that was BS, or he said some other stuff too that I can't say, but it was like it made me laugh.
So yeah,
love you, Joe. I work with you every day, and it's been a pleasure and a treat.
Real quick,
and that's not sarcastic.
Real quick, who would your guys' pick be to broadcast a porno? Like, what announcer would you pick?
Who would be the best? Oh. Yeah.
What announcer would you
pick? Joe Buck is really good.
Joe Buck.
Number one is Kevin Harlan, and it's not even close.
Well,
like, what he can do with a man or a cat running on the field.
Yeah.
Imagine what he could do with pornography.
I agree, but I think there's guys, when it comes to this genre, that can add even more oomph and excitement.
And I got Pat McAfee.
No, I got two even better ones.
Oh, okay.
I mean, does it get better than Mike Breen?
Oh, bang!
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 Or my second pick, I couldn't really choose between the two.
Okay,
Gus Johnson.
That's what I was.
Gus Johnson
to.
Gets pretty.
He gets
crazy.
Hyped.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go Chris Berman.
Ooh.
The New York Football Giants.
I just think that he would have so
he
many of those.
Go all the way.
I just think that he would come up with so much stuff. Because Gus Johnson was one of mine, too, because that dude can get hyped over anything.
Man. Gus Johnson was in 1 year of Madden, and it was the greatest Madden ever.
And so those two, Chris Berman and Gus Johnson, I think would be a bunch
of fun. I think mine would be Kevin Harlan with McAfee as the color analyst.
Or okay. Tony Romo.
Tony Romo's predicting what's going to happen before it happens.
Oh, man.
No, Kevin Harlan.
Anyway, so let's get away from the skeevies and talk about something else. So next up, guys, I have a question. Sure. Guys, I have a question for you. Do you know who Mitch Ross is?
What's that Joker's name?
I think his name.
That's our boss, right?
Mitch. No, that's Mitch Rosen.
Oh, no, I thought guys. I thought that was a quarterback.
No, that's Josh Rosen.
We're talking
Mitch Ross. Please tell me you know who Mitch Ross is. All right, if you don't, here we go.
I think Mitch has just as good a chance of beating me as Jeff does of beating Gary.
Oh, my God. Oh,
no, damn. Mitch had to fight his own mom to get her vote.
Stop.
There is no chance that Mayor Mitch is going to take down
Mark. Man, no one even know who Mayor Mitch is, man.
Mayor Mitch.
Talking about nobody ain't heard of him, man. Does he have a show? Does Mayor Mitch have a show? What does Mayor Mitch do?
He does post game shows after Bucks games with Billy.
But when you're the number one overall seed, you know, you deserve the easiest matchup in round two.
I suppose.
He said nobody knows who Mitch Ross is.
Nobody know who Mitch is, man. Does he have a show? I'm sorry, Mitch.
No, you're not.
He's listening. You already offended and pissed him off now. Not too late.
He's got a full-time job. He's probably not listening. Don't worry about it.
That man a grown man. Mitch had to Google himself. Who am I? Come on, man. Steve should stop. He got a post-game show with Billy. Stop it.
He's hosted that post-game show over the years, too.
Oh, man, stop.
So Mitch Rosen, Mitch Ross, Mitch the Boss Ross.
Mayor Mitch.
Mayor Mitch, whatever you want to call
Mayor.
Him. He is a producer, actually, Gary, just to answer your question, because obviously you're not very clear of who he is. He's also worked here for 7 years, which is
he's worked on a lot of shows
surprising.
That you've worked on.
Yeah, and you don't know who he is. That was back when our 105.7 FM The Fan Bracket was a thing, and Sparky was going to go up against him. But now that it's not, I guess none of us will still continue to know who Mitch Ross is. So last but not least is our last clip. Once again, wrapping up the Big Show sweep this week, boys. And it's Tim Allen filling in for Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, Leroy Butler, and Gary Ellerson talking about all of the pressing issues. Like, do you wear pajamas, and what kind of underwear do you wear?
It is wear your pajamas to work day to day, so I don't know if that plays into this. Yeah.
Well, everybody should be in their pajamas. Everybody home.
Yeah. All right.
Should I send a picture of me in my pajamas real quick?
You
no,
should.
Don't
it's,
do that.
Yeah,
no.
It's wear your pajamas. Yeah, National do it, wear Gary. Your pajamas to work day to day.
Gary, don't do it.
Ain't got no shirt on. Ain't got.
Do you wear pajamas?
Ain't got no shirt on.
Do you wear pajamas to bed? Do guys?
No, cause yeah, no.
I wear.
Leroy does though.
No, I don't. I ain't wasting no money on that. I wear me some basketball shorts and a t-shirt, cause.
No, but don't the shorts get all bagged up in there and you're rolling around and you get all
they get all bunched up?
Up.
Right.
And I don't want my wife wearing no negligees. I don't need that.
Oh, so by basketball shorts,
see,
you mean
ask you about
you
your
mean,
wife? See, why you
I just throw it in there. Throw it in there.
Ask her about your wife.
You
she
mean,
can just wear some shorts too, cuz, and a shirt.
Shorts.
Dr. J.
You know,
basketball
Leroy, why don't you
shorts.
Just
right.
give her the long shirt, Leroy, that you got, and off in the drawer over there.
The churn here, man. The churn. And she won't let me lock the door, Garrett. They just knocking all on the door, arguing. They're arguing over a frozen pizza that we found in our freezer with frozen frostbite
freeze
all over. They're arguing
freeze
over
burn on it. Yeah.
They got 2 inches of ice on it. They're arguing over it. I said, we got more pizza.
Yeah, you
they get on my nerves, man.
So do dudes, do they still wear pajamas?
I think a lot of guys still wear foot-ins. When they do around Christmas, my wife tricked me into that. Then we all had on the same pajamas. It was like the foot end. I ain't never doing that no more.
You think Toodles still wears pajamas? I'm going to guess
you
yes.
Leroy, I seen you in the hotel with the foot end one time when you were coming down the hallway.
No.
Late one night when you had No, you had a foot in because you went that late night when you had that 12-pack of Coca-Cola.
From Wicked?
Yeah, from Wicked.
I thought it was just underwear and a T-shirt to bed for
no, days. Man. No,
I ain't doing that. That's probably what y'all do.
You had to heat up real high, like on about 105. You know, we're hot up in there, girl. This man here, you think he in Florida.
Pluck, you wear pajamas?
I bet you
just basketball shorts.
Okay. Pluck wear jammies, man. You know.
You know you wear jammies with the three-piece suit, Gary, with the buttons off on one side.
Well, you know who wear jammies. Hatch. Timmy, you wear jammies, Timmy?
No, T-shirt and undies.
Ew.
Old white guy in his underwear and T-shirt.
Tighty whities, man. No, don't do it, Tim.
You know, you get to a certain age where...
Do you wear socks? You wear socks too, Tim?
Only... No, well, it depends on the day.
Here we go.
I've been accused of having bad blood circulation because I smoke, and that's why my feet are cold. So, occasionally I do have the socks on.
Occasionally. Tim, I seen you come out the bedroom one day with a T-shirt, an underwear, and a pair of socks on.
Yeah, why you take this picture?
Get out of here.
Leroy, he didn't know I was up because he always go early. He's the first one to always get up, Leroy.
Yeah.
So I had to go use the bathroom because it was real early. And I peeked around the corner. There he is trying to make some coffee with underwear, T-shirt, and a pair of socks on.
Well, he's consistent.
Get out of here.
Hey, he had a cigarette already in his hand. Not lit, but he had it in his hand. And he was using the other hand with the filter and the coffee. This boy, he about ready to get it going.
Hey,
6 a.m. 6 a.m., he ready to rock.
Time management. I mean, you got
to
make sure.
You might need to make that a lane. Do guys wear pajamas anymore? I don't think guys wear just some shorts and a T-shirt. Yeah.
I'm going to say of the members of the Big Show, and yes.
What?
And that would be Leroy, no. Sparky, yes. I think Sparky has Mickey Mouse.
You think Steve wore pajamas?
Yeah, Mickey Mouse pajamas, yeah.
You might be right about that.
He has to have a Mickey Mouse onesie in there or something.
You may be right. We'll ask him tomorrow, but I don't think he does.
What about Timmy, when you come home after work, do you change clothes right away? I mean, do you get into something comfortable? I do.
I grab sweats right away.
I do that too. Yeah.
It's just such a good feeling. You work.
It is. Yeah. You want to be free. Yeah.
Yep.
Now, I have to go right in there and take a shower.
Now the underwear is always a must. I know certain guys, they kind of like freelance it, if you will.
Freelance it.
I just always have to have underwear on. I don't know why. Yeah.
Freelancer. Well, you're the tighty whitey old types, but my granddad used to have the boxers on, man. The boxers that come all the way down to his knees. And I was like, granddad, you should change them up a little bit. First of all, why do you have them on out in the living room? You should be in your room with them, granddad. He said, this is my house. I said, I'm going to leave that alone.
He sure did. You better let that go now.
Now, does it matter?
He said, it's my house. You better let it go, Roy. He ain't playing. Yeah.
Now, is there a difference between white dudes' underwear and black guys' underwear?
100. Yes.
Oh, there is?
Yes. Yes.
What's the difference?
What is it?
I don't think no brother ever wore tighty whities. Ever. No. Always. They were born with boxers.
What if they're the white boxer briefs?
No, man. No. Oh, I only think brothers wear nothing white going to bed. Like white, boxers.
Be careful, just clean it up.
So you're not going to bed with anything white, is what you're saying?
I ain't wearing no white tighty white, and I ain't wearing no white boxers.
Why, it just shows too much, or what?
Well, yeah, that too. it just get dirty quick, cuz.
You can wear a pair
of black ones, though. You might can get away with wear them a couple times if you quarantining the white ones, dog. You want it done.
Yeah, you're right about it. I don't have any white underwear. Yeah, all mine are different. I got blue, black, gray.
It hides all the DNA.
In training camp, I only had three pairs. I just washed them. They were like a dark blue, a brown, and a black pair. That's it.
Leroy, I told you by that time, my mama wrote my name in all my underwear cover when I went to college.
We need to get that out there on Twitter and Facebook.
Put them on the inside. She put them on the inside on the back tag.
Guys still wearing pajamas. Dan, can you throw that out there? I'm gonna say no. I'm gonna say we're gonna be surprised.
I'm on it. Let's do it.
Yeah, we're gonna be surprised. Yeah. I think there are
tell God to be clean it up. Now don't do nothing weird, but just say yes or no and give us an explanation.
Well, you know that
I think God wearing basketball shorts. It's just easy access with your basketball shorts.
What you talking? See, stop, man.
The underwear, man. It just ain't nothing sexy about that, man.
Stop.
It just ain't nothing about Tim. Did Tim look sexy when you saw him, Gary? No.
He looked like what's your boy name that came out, Leroy, in the one movie, and he slid across the floor?
When his parents, Tom Cruise.
He looked like Tom Cruise in that one movie.
Yeah.
When he had the sunglasses on.
Yeah,
and he slid
risky
across
business.
The floor. Risky business.
Yeah.
If y'all ever seen
Jordan
that. That's what he looked like. What he looked like.
Well, that ain't so bad.
Gary just peeking around the corner.
I just peeking around the corner. I said, what is this guy doing?
Well, that's what we were talking about the other day. You never really know someone until you live with them for a while.
That's true. That's what this quarantine is doing for everybody. To see what you guys were going through.
Well, the problem,
I miss those times. I really do.
Yeah, me too.
Those are fun times in Arizona, man.
And I think you get to a certain age where sometimes you get so comfortable that you're in your underwear and your T-shirt, or you're making coffee or something, and you forget. You still think you have basketball shorts on, and you go out to get the paper or smoke a cigarette.
That is true.
So I don't know about you guys. When I was little, I definitely was rocking some whitey tighties, and I definitely feel that.
I had like a couple of pairs, but I've always been when I was super young, I had the ones that had Toy Story or whatever on them. And then at that point, I moved on to like briefs. And then right now, I've got a fantastic mix of boxers and briefs going on.
Okay.
Like, or boxer briefs. Like, I don't wear the bikini cut. Ones, no, not bikini cut. What am I trying to say? Speedo cut,
compression short looking ones.
I had some of those, and then I wore those too much for athletics,
it's
and just blew
straight
them
loose
out.
Boxers for me.
Boxers, but there's something to be said about a nice boxer brief.
See, I'm not a big boxer brief guy. It's too tight.
Then you're not wearing the right boxer briefs.
Okay.
You know what else?
Or you're bragging about something else.
certain things just get a little uncomfortable when I wear boxer briefs.
Yeah, see, I can't relate to that.
You know what else makes you feel a little uncomfortable is when you give
this
away...
This conversation?
No, when you give away DeAndre Hopkins for nothing. And coming up next week... Now, granted, next week we'll be coming at you after the NFL draft.
Well, it might be during. So we haven't talked about this
yet. Oh, okay. Well, we won't plan on it.
Well, regardless, the big rounds of the draft will be out of the way. At least the first round.
And speaking of the NFL draft, we're going to have an NFL draft preview show for you on Wednesday night, the day before the draft. We did a mock draft of our picks for the top 32 teams. Definitely check it out. It's very good. We just recorded it actually right before this podcast because we thought it was going to be a part of this one. But
and then
it
went
an hour. Yeah. So we were like, okay, yeah, let's just make this a separate podcast, you guys. So we're in here and a little extra longer. Make sure you tune into that. It's some really good content. See what we think. If you disagree with the pick, let us know. Tweet at us at 1057 producers, at Sam_Schmitz, at EvanHeff25, and myself at Dan Plucker. Sam, let's take us away here.
So, like we said, next week we're going to kind of dive into this topic that we all have very hot takes on.
That we've teased for like 2 weeks.
Even Ross Tucker has his very interesting opinions on it. Who's in a worse situation, the Houston Texans or the LA Rams? And like Bill O'Brien, Milwaukee, all we ask you guys is just don't be like Bill O'Brien. Don't be a dumbass.
Just don't be a dumbass, guys.
Don't give away your best players for virtually nothing.
Brian Gutekunst, because we won't talk to you until then, don't be a dumbass during this draft.
And take a lineman in the first round.
Yeah, there's so much better things that you can do with your draft picks. Just be smart with them, all of you NFL GMs. Let's just get this stuff done the way it should be. Let's have a good draft. And also, all you hackers out there, don't be a dumbass and hack
that.
Into the Zoom.
Yep.
We don't need to see, you know, porn or whatever.
That's
jump
what I'm
up
excited for
screen.
In the draft is all the chaos that's going to ensue via technology.
But, you know, it's going to be a good time.
It is.
So all we ask is just don't be a dumbass.
Just please, just stop being
dumbass.
Don't
be a Bill O'Brien.
All right. You know what?
All right.
It's time for us to go.
Have a good one.
Have a great one.
Sure. Bye.
There's an echo on that one.
Yeah.